Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the Mighty Hot 1027. And it's so good to be back with you again on this crisp morning. I think we can feel winter starting to creep in, and I hope that you're all well. Today we have an interesting mix of readings, and I think if I were to sum them up, I would say they are really about how to live the resurrected life with Jesus, even though we'll be looking at David, who of course lived long before Jesus, but he lived as one of God's anointed, loved by God, who knew God, who did confess when he did the wrong thing, and we know he did some things wrong, but he still lived under the anointing of God. And so I think that's what we're really focusing on today, even though we have one more account of Jesus appearing to his disciples. And so I'm going to begin with Acts chapter 3, 1 to 18, and I'm sure this is a reading that you're all familiar with. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 in the afternoon. And I actually found that interesting because we pray in the morning, at noon, and in the evening, but 3 in the afternoon is their time of prayer. Now there was a man there who was lame from birth, being carried to the temple gate, and the temple gate was called Beautiful. Isn't that a lovely name for a temple gate? And he was put there every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get money from them. Peter says, "I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." So taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. Instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with him into the temple courts, walking, jumping, praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate, called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement and awe and shock at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished, and they came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you?" Now remember, they've just seen a man who they know was lame, who couldn't walk. They've seen him now walking. So one can understand their surprise. But Peter says, "Why are you surprised? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of your fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed Jesus over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, even though Pilate wanted to let him go. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites," he says, I know that you acted in ignorance," so he's giving them a reason why they acted the way they did, "as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer." So when I hear this passage of scripture, it takes me right back to my childhood in Sunday school, and I wonder if it does the same for you, where we heard that song that we used to sing over and over again. Peter and John went to pray, they met a young man on the way, he asked for alms, but they actually told him to rise up and walk. And I'm sure even as I said that, some of you can remember that song. But for me, it is also another example of how the disciples never doubted God's power after the resurrection. And that's why I said these readings are about post-resurrection life, or our resurrected life in Christ. It's about how we are to live in the power of God, understanding the power of God, understanding who we are in God, and being instruments, if you like, of healing to others. Peter and John never, ever doubted God's power, even though before his resurrection they had had their doubts and their fears. They didn't seem to find miracles unusual. They seemed to expect them, while the people are astonished. Of course, Peter looks at them and says, "Why are you surprised? This is how God works. It's nothing to do with us. We didn't do this. It's God's power working in and through us. It's God who healed him, the same God that you crucified." So he does tell them, you know, "You crucified this God. You crucified Jesus, even though Pilate wanted to let him go. So it is your fault." But he does then go on to say that you need to ask for forgiveness for that, and you did it in ignorance. And I think we're all called to ask and to believe and to pray in the name of Jesus, and amazing things will and do happen. We are told that if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. So what we need to do is to grow in our faith so that we will be like Peter and John, and not just think that God doesn't heal, but in fact that we will go about praying for healing of people, not just physically, but of course spiritually and emotionally as well, because healing is God's. That's what Peter was saying. It's not us, it's God. So we can pray, we can be instruments of that healing, but we ask God to heal, and it is God who does the healing in God's way, in God's time. So what I think I'm saying as I look at this is that we need to expect the miracle. We need to understand the power of God, because God is powerful and we are God's beloved children. And when we understand who we are in God, then we can actually become those instruments of healing like Peter and John were. Not just physical healing, but other healing as well, as we bring God's light and God's love, God's grace, God's kindness, God's forgiveness to all. I'm going to look at this in more detail after the break, but first on the Mighty Hot 1027, a new commandment I give unto you.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
A new commandment I give unto you on the Mighty Hot 1027. You are listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. If you've just joined us, welcome. It's good to be with you this morning. I've been looking at the book of Acts, and I've looked at John and Peter going to the temple to pray and healing a person who was lame from birth, and the astonishment, surprise of the people around. And they're looking at the disciples and thinking that they are the cause of the healing. And of course, Peter is pointing to God, that God, Jesus, whom they crucified, is the one who brings out the healing. And I thought, as we looked at this, maybe I would ask you a few questions. How often do you see miracles? Do you believe in miracles? Are you surprised when miracles happen? I must confess that as much as I have faith and walk in faith, I still sometimes am surprised by what God does. There are times when I say, wow, absolutely wow, I can't believe God that you just did that. But there are certainly miracles that happen today. I've seen them, I've experienced them myself. God is a God of power. God does love us, and God does work miracles even today. So Peter and John tell us not to be astonished, because God heals through his son Jesus, and we are the sons and daughters of God. And of course we read that in 1 John 3, 1-7. I just want to read some of that to you quickly. See how much the Father has loved us. Isn't that reassuring? God is our parent. God loves us. His love is so great that we are called God's children. And so, in fact, we are. That is why the world does not know us. It has not known God. My dear friends, we are now God's children, but it is not yet clear what we shall become. So I think we're told God, I mean, in this, it's just a reassurance of how much God loves us. And I wonder as well, do you feel loved by God? Do you know how much God loves you? Sometimes it's hard for us to believe in this love, especially when we're facing challenges. But God does love us. That's something that we should hold in our hearts and believe with all of our hearts. We are the children of God. I had someone chatting to me, and they said they don't bother God with everything. They try and solve it themselves. And only if they can't solve it do they turn to God as a last resort, because God is so busy. And I said that as a parent, I want my children to bother me. I love it when my children come and share their lives with me. Come to me if they're needing help with anything, big or small. And I'm sure nearly all parents feel the same, especially when the children have grown up. And God is our parent. That's what we've been told. So I'm sure that as our parent, God wants us to go to him. Take everything to God in prayer. Living like that has certainly helped me. If I'm struggling, I remember to go to God and leave it with God. When I was growing up, there was a lady called Mrs. Gilbert. She lived across the road from us, and she used to speak to me a lot about God. And she taught me about the watchmaker, and she said, Shona, when you hand something to God, leave it with God. Don't keep snatching it back. She said, if you take a watch to a watchmaker and every 5 minutes you go and ask for it back, the watchmaker can never fix it. So you need to actually leave it with God, because God can fix it. In other words, let go and let God. Now, another person who always turned to God, as I said, even when he was completely wrong, is David. And I'm going to look at a psalm written by David very briefly, Psalm number 4. David writes the following: answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? And when I read that, I thought about how we seek so many false gods in this world. And a lot has to do with marketing, telling us that we need this, we need that, you need the latest phone, and so on. You need this car, you need this house, you need these clothes. These are false gods. So how long, says David, will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. David knew that God heard him when he called. Tremble and do not sin when you're on your beds. Search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. I think this is such a beautiful psalm because it's a very real psalm. David's crying out to God, hear me, God, in my distress. But what I love are that he knows that God hears him. He says that. And also from verse 6 he says, Lord, let your light shine on me. How beautiful is that? God's light shining on you. When I'm doing funerals, I often speak about how they have moved from this life to the next, out of this body, and they're now basking in the light and the love of God. But that light shines on us even while we're here on this earthly planet. And he goes on to say, fill my heart with joy. If I go back to Peter and John, they faced many challenges, and yet they had absolutely no doubt about God, and their hearts were filled with joy. And my best is, in peace, I will lie down and sleep, not racked with worry or anxiety or fear, as so many people are at the moment, but in peace, knowing that our only safety, our only surety is God. And it's a message I feel that we need to hear and to believe. I feel we truly need to embrace this truth. Only God alone can keep us safe. Coming up now on the Mighty Hot 1027, Blessed Assurance.
Sunrise with Shona.
Blessed Assurance on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona. I've looked at the book of Acts this morning. We've looked at Peter and John healing someone as they went to pray, a person who was asking for alms, but instead they gave him his strength back and he could walk. We've looked at the astonishment of the people, and I've spoken about how perhaps we need to expect miracles more. We need to recognize the power of God more and move in that power and be healing instruments in God's hands and not be surprised at what God does, because God does still do miracles among us all the time, each and every day. I've looked at 1 John and how much God loves us and how we are children of God. And I've looked at Psalm number 4 and how God is our safety. God is our only surety. I'm going to look now at the gospel reading, and it's another account of Jesus appearing to his disciples, and it's from Luke's gospel. Last week we looked at John's account, now we're looking at Luke's. While they were still talking about this, we're told, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. So that's what we read last week in John's gospel. Jesus is greeting, peace be with you. That's his greeting all the time. And perhaps that's where shalom comes from, what we should be offering people when we meet them. Maybe instead of hi, how are you, we should be saying shalom, which means wholeness, peace to you. And that's the greeting Jesus used. And of course, that peace is that peace of God which passes all understanding. We're told they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is me. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, so obviously now they've moved to joy, absolute amazement, shock again, surprise, perhaps like those people when Peter and John healed the man who was lame. They are absolutely shocked, but they're also filled with that joy. And you can just imagine their joy. As I said last week, they've watched their Savior, their Messiah, their teacher, their friend, being crucified, and now he's with them, alive. And then he says, do you have anything to eat? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. I think he actually asked that again to prove to them that he wasn't a ghost. And then he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures, and he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Now last week, as we looked at John 20 and Jesus appeared to the disciples who were huddled together behind locked doors, as I said, he also said, peace be with you. I looked at Thomas and how I felt sorry for him because he doubted. Today in Luke's gospel, we see a similar thing. The disciples are astonished, but Jesus reassures them. He allows them. He meets them in that place of doubt, allows them to see, this is me, really, Jesus, I'm not a ghost. As I said last week, I love that Jesus meets us in our place of doubt. There are going to be times when our faith is tested. And instead of doubting and becoming fearful, let us turn even more fully to Jesus and trust God, our parent. Let us ask Jesus to reassure us, because Jesus does understand and meets us in our place of need. The passage for me again stresses the need for us to know our Bible, to know the scripture, and to ask God to help us to understand scripture. Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. Does this mean that our minds are closed? I don't necessarily think that, But I do believe that sometimes we may want scripture to mean something that we want. For example, if we look at prosperity theology, or we may be so dogmatic in our understanding that we actually miss what God is saying. So I think each and every day we need to be asking God to open our minds so we can understand more fully what it is God is trying to reveal to us, what it is God is saying to us. So to sum up today in our readings, we are loved. We are children of God. Our safety is in God, and if we believe that, we are able to sleep peacefully at night in the arms of God, who loves us more than anything we can understand or comprehend. God still performs miracles today. I've seen them, I'm sure you have too. And I think we should stop being surprised, because God loves us, we are God's children, and God is a powerful God. And sometimes we need help from the Holy Spirit to understand Scripture. And in fact, I think we should be asking for that help each and every day, and being expectant to see God work, and to rejoice and to be filled with joy when God does. I pray that you have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for listening. May God bless you and those you love and pray for. To wrap up, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And hallelujah. Please enjoy and have a wonderful Sunday. If you need to get hold of me, you can do so on Shona at hot1027.co.za.
Sunrise with Shona. Hot 1027.